Thank you very much, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us for the Q1 report of Tethys Oil. We are actually quite happy with the first quarter, and in particular, of course, with the way that the exploration, appraisal, and reserve growth seem to be going. We have a quite active appraisal program based on the discoveries we did last year. But of course, we also have some numbers, and it seems that judging from the calls we've had so far this morning, the numbers are of much greater interest on a quarterly basis than the long-term outlook. So let's bow to quarter capitalism and get on with the numbers. We actually show a fairly healthy revenue of $34 million. That's up on the quarter compared to last quarter, but that, of course, does entail primarily an oil price increase. We are up on the quarter to 18% to an average price achieved of $63. Obviously, oil prices have continued up since, and we could potentially look at even stronger earnings for the second quarter, but that's to be addressed in August, of course. Healthy EBITDA, well over $20 million, which gives us more than enough cash to do what we set out to do in the work program, i.e., explore for more oil in Blocks 3 and 4, appraise the discoveries we did last year, and eventually, hopefully, increase both reserves and production, but also giving us a nice free cash flow to be distributed to shareholders and also to be used for future other projects, possibly. Operating result up a little bit on the Q4, and as is noticeable from the report, for the quarter, we have seen a bit of an increase in both OpEx and depletion. We believe that these numbers are temporary and should not be seen as a significant change either to our depletion numbers going forward or to our OpEx increasing dramatically. Jesper will discuss these numbers in detail a little bit later in this presentation. The cash position remains strong, not to say extremely strong, with $50 million plus cash. Some of this, of course, will be distributed to shareholders based on the proposal to the AGM to be held tomorrow to distribute the total 6 crowns per share over the current year. But turning to the more long-term picture, we want to emphasize that we have yet had yet another successful exploration well in the main Block 4 reservoir sections, the Buah and the Khufai, with the Tibian well. Rather smaller structure, but confirms the trend and confirms the prospectivity of the Buah and Khufai as it continues. And in that light, we should also look upon the extensive seismic surveys we are currently conducting. We've also done a far-field exploration well, the Luja 1, in the southern part of Block 4. This could be quite significant in that it is the first well in this area since the 1980s. We have an 1980s well drilled there that suggested oil was present, but no flows to surface recorded at that time. We've encountered oil shows in the Luja 1. It's being very thoroughly evaluated to get as much information as we possibly can about the southern part of the block. It's still too early to say whether this is going to be a commercial success or not, but we are, of course, staying tuned and quite interested in what we can learn from the Luja 1. And on the more mundane side, the Farha trend continues to deliver, and yet another fault block was brought on stream during the quarter. That sums up the highlights for the quarter. So turning to the next slide, the asset base. Oman continues to go from 99% to 99.5% of our portfolio assets, with now Blocks 3, 4, and 49 in Oman. Lithuania hankers along at a good 90 barrels per day net to us, pays for its costs, and we're still there. France, nothing happening. So let's turn on to the shareholder distribution side. So the board of directors has proposed an ordinary dividend of 2 Swedish crowns per share and extraordinary distribution of 4 crowns per share by way of a mandatory share redemption program. These proposals will be voted upon tomorrow by the annual general meeting. Reserves and resources, of course, the very core of any oil company, stand at a good 2P reserves of 22, with 3P of 32 million barrels. But main focus for the year, of course, being the Cs that we added in December. One Cs of 10, two Cs of 17, and three Cs of 27 million barrels. And all the Cs are attributable to the three structures, the Erfan, Ulfa, and Samurai, drilled in 2017, all encountering oil in the Buah and/or the Khufai. And main focus for this year's program is to appraise these and, of course, bring as much of the Cs into Ps and also bring them into production as fully developed oil fields in the not-too-distant future, with great expectations both to increase production and, of course, the reserve side. The appraisal program is ongoing. We have a rig dedicated, and so far, no hiccups. And put in perspective, as the next slide, development of resources in Blocks 3 and 4 shows, we have now, for the sixth consecutive year, had a reserve replacement ratio way above our production. And with the right-hand staple of the contingent resources, we have a very good case to have an excellent triple R for 2018. And that's not counting the ongoing exploration, only the appraisal. Now, turn more to the quarterly numbers. We look at the average daily production, which is well within guidance and reasonably stable at 11,600 barrels per day. This is what we have expected to see for the first quarter, and it is well within the guided range that we have given for the year. Looking at more of the quarterly side, I think this is a good time to leave the floor to Jesper to get into all the nitty-gritty details of the quarterly numbers and explain what's really going on. Jesper.
Thank you, Magnus, and good morning, everyone. So I'm starting off on page eight, production for the quarter. Production for the quarter in absolute terms was very similar to the production of Q4, adjusted for the fewer days in this first quarter. In absolute terms, production was 1,041,000 barrels. And on the average daily production, it was very much in line, and the March number was also equivalent to the average of Q4. Moving on to page nine, which is on selling price. We've seen very nice development of realized prices over the quarters, and we ended up in Q1 with a realized price of $63.7. Noting today's spot price of around $75, we expect more to come in the next quarter, bearing in mind that we have a 2-month delay in achieving the spot equivalent in our selling price. Slide 10, revenue and other income. An increase of 14% quarter-on-quarter, which we're happy with, and this is at a flat production, so so it translates to the increase in oil price during the period. And revenue and other income is equivalent to the production during the quarter. And over to expenses, slide 11, where we've seen an increase in absolute terms from 9 million in Q4 to 11.6 in Q1. A large part of the increase quarter on quarter is due to the impact of 2017 costs in the first quarter, which means that Q1 is not representative of our expected 2018 operating expenses. This effect where we've seen last year costs come in during Q1 is not totally uncommon for us. We've seen it before. This time the effect was larger than expected, and we're working with the operator to improve the process, avoiding this in the future. But we expect a return to more normal levels going forward. Moving forward to slide 12, OPEX and netback. This is obviously, the OPEX per barrel is obviously affected by the absolute levels on the previous slide. And we had an OPEX per barrel of 11.1. Reference here could be the rolling 12-month average of OPEX per barrel, which is 8.7, or the 2017 OPEX per barrel at 7.9. We do expect a moderate increase in OPEX versus 2017. This is due to some cost inflation. We have such as diesel, which has followed the oil price up. We have staff costs that have increased slightly, and other inputs, of course. The production currently is from more mature fields with an increasing dependence on water injection, and that drives the OPEX per barrel somewhat as well. And hopefully, should we be successful in adding production from discoveries, that will not be from mature fields, so we hope that that will have a positive effect. Moving on to EBITDA. At a healthy 21 million compared to 20 during Q4. And obviously here the cost component from OPEX hurts this quarter's EBITDA, and with the reasoning that I mentioned before, we hope to see improvement here going forward. Moving on to the balance sheet, we've increased cash during the quarter by around 10 million US, and we end the period at 52.4 million. We have the proposed distribution to shareholders that that are up for voting tomorrow at the AGM. That's for a total of 6 SEK per share, which translates into approximately 23 million USD to be distributed both in May, with a majority in May, and a residual during November. Approximately the split is 19 to 20 million in May and around 4 million in November. Moving on to what we spent on oil and gas investments during the quarter, we ended up at close to 14 million invested. This is within the investment guidance range if you split that into 4 equal parts. Bearing in mind here, it also includes the 3D seismic campaign that is ongoing. That has also been increased to cover 2,000 square case instead of previously 1,200 square case. What did we get for that money being invested? Well, a total of 12 wells drilled. I'm now on page 16. A total of 12 wells drilled during the quarter, distributed on the traditional mix, but also including the near and far field exploration wells, where especially far field exploration wells come at a somewhat higher investment than near field due to logistics and et cetera. So with that, I hand over back to Magnus again for the exciting stuff. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jesper. So leaving the quarter and going again a little bit for the bigger picture, for the future and for the forward-looking statements. The slides, fields, discoveries, leads and prospects, summarizes quite well that we actually have quite a large portfolio of both fields, discoveries, leads and prospects. Box 3 and 4 are outlined. Within the red line, we have the current 3D seismic coverage that we have collected since beginning of 2010. We have the Farah South field, which is maturing, but still having a few undrilled fault blocks that continue to deliver new reserves and new production. Possibly more importantly, we have the Shahad field area, we have the Sawan East field, and of course we have the Arfan, Ulfa, and Sama discoveries. All these are part of the same geological play, the Buah Khufai carbonate plays, that has turned out to be quite prolific and possibly the most important of all the plays and reservoirs in blocks 3 and 4. The Arfan, Ulfa and Sama are already contributing to production through the long-term production test that we have. And we are focusing on appraisal drilling and eventually also a production facility construction, minor amendments. Ulfa and Sama, of course, will be produced, as is obvious from the slide, into Farha, whereas Arfan will be produced through Sawan. Very small infrastructure adjustments, where we would expect production from these three new areas to both lower CapEx and also in particular lower the OpEx as they come on stream. This is the maybe the most important part we have for this year, is to get these up and running. The Lutia well is quite obvious in the very south of Block 4. And as you also can see from the slide, there is no shortage of additional prospects and leads in that area. That, of course, carries a much higher risk. We are far afield. There is no production down there. And that's why we are seriously taking the time to do all the possible evaluations that we can, according to the book from the Luja well. We are coring. We are doing all possible logging. And we want to really understand what kind of oil do we have down there. We obviously have some kind of oil since we have had shells. Will it flow, and under what circumstances will it flow? And that's an evaluation that's currently ongoing and will take several months yet. If it works and if it strengthens our belief that we could have a new area in the south, that of course would open up the entire southern area of Block 4. But as you also notice, near field, adjacent to Farha, and also along the Shahad and the Buah Khufai areas, we have a number of leads, prospects, and given the success from last year, we are of course quite encouraged by the possibility of extending the Khufai Buah area to the east towards the ocean, and If we turn to the next slide, you can see the second most important part of the 2018 work program. That is the seismic surveys covering the extensive leads that we have, shall we say, between Farha and Sawan. Some 10, 12 leads identified on 2D. With a new 3D, we should be able to mature these, and hopefully most of them will survive and turn into prospects. And then we'll have ample targets for exploratory drilling both this year and also the coming years. We're doing the same on the other side of the Farha trend, where we suspect there could be a parallel a trend of fault blocks, similar to the Farha, but also opportunities in the Hufai and in the Bua. So the exploration program is very much alive and on the seismic side, seriously revving up speed the current year. Blocks 3 and 4 remains, of course, our producer with ample, reasonably low-risk exploration upside. But we've also now started to seriously get into work on Block 49, our southern block bordering Saudi Arabia. Also quite a large block with a lot of legacy data and 9 wells drilled, several with oil shows. We are well underway with the early G&G work. And if we just turn page and look a little bit at what we actually have inherited from previous operators, we have a fair amount of seismic from several vintages. We have started to look into the reprocessing, and the pilots we've done so far actually yielded very good results. And we are quite hopeful that we will get a lot of interesting information from reprocessing the existing seismic. 49, of course, is much more of a frontier block, sort of what 3 and 4 was maybe in 2009. And what we are doing here is more what a regular exploration company would do. We, of course, want to reprocess seismic, possibly shoot some new seismic ourselves, and then go on with adding value, defining a couple of pay concepts. And then we can play that as a regular exploration company would do. We could try and farm it out. And it's always nice to have a partner when you have 100%. With the exception, of course, that we are in a position of doing the work program ourselves. We don't have to farm out. And that will put us in a very nice negotiation position once we have matured the block sufficiently to look at farming opportunities or go ahead and do the work ourselves. For now, we are excited about what we hope to get from the reprocessing of the seismic, and we'll take it from there. So on that note, I think we've reached the end of the presentation, what we wanted to highlight. The quarter numbers are as they are, and obviously we believe they are not significant for the future, but that's to be shown, of course. Jesper has explained why they are the way they are and why there's an element of disappointment that we did not have, for example, a higher EBITDA, even at the higher oil price environment. But then, of course, oil prices have also continued to increase after end of March for our report. But we reemphasize maturation of discoveries is our prime objective for 2018. Second objective is continued exploration to eventually reach peak potential for blocks 3 and 4. And not least, based on the encouraging exploration results from the 3D area, we are quite excited about the ongoing seismic acquisition programs. And of course, we rejoice at the higher oil price. It seems that we will continue to yield very good returns from blocks 3 and 4. At oil prices at this level. And production steady and within guidance, and no change to that guidance. So Ladies and gentlemen, please, we are ready for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now, and you will enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Teodor Nilsen from SB1 Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my questions. I have three questions, actually. First one is more specific on 2018 appraisal program. Could you indicate how many barrels that program will target? And secondly, Magnus, you mentioned that you expect OpEx to decline going forward as you put new wells into production. How much do you expect OpEx to decline? And do you then mean lower absolute OpEx, or is it lower unit costs? And then finally, could you please discuss a little bit around M&A and what you see in the regions for future opportunities? Thank you.
Thank you, Teodor. Delighted. All three questions, lovely. First, on the appraisal program, well, I think the best way to summarize it is that we are targeting the entire all the seas. We want to try and the appraisal program is designed to try and bring as much of the seas into peace as possible. On the OpEx side, Jesper, you want to give a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah. The current production comes from more mature fields than what we expect from potential production from discoveries. So it shouldn't be taken as a decline in OpEx in absolute terms or per barrel terms, but the weighted average, the aim is within the reference frame that I previously gave. We have a rolling 12-month average of 8.7, and last year we came in at 7.9, and that is probably a reasonable level. Then, of course, part of the OpEx is fixed, and if we should increase production levels, that will have an impact on the per barrel level. So the cost side is, to some extent, dynamic, and we're not guiding on a specific OpEx per barrel or a specific OpEx number going forward. But we can state that Q1 was impacted by 2017 costs that we do not expect to include for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Jesper. And then I'll run with the M&A bit. I would say that with the strengthening of the oil price, we certainly have the impression that buyers and sellers are much closer to their respective expectations of what they would be willing to pay and also what they would be willing to accept. So all else equals, we would certainly expect transactions or closed transactions to continue to increase over 2018. I think we've already seen a we've certainly seen a number of processes on the sell side that have started that were not present in 2017, for example. Even after the sizable distribution to shareholders, we will have quite a nice war chest, and we are actively pursuing opportunities within our main area, which I would say would be the MENA area. However, we are not going to forgo our disciplined approach. We are not going to jump into something that we don't believe in and where we can't see that we will add considerable value on what we are good at, which is mainly the exploration and development side of things. I still can't really see that we would jump into a major production deal, of course, unless it is at a very, very good price or is it production with some sizable overlooked or for other reasons not carried out exploration. So More activity we are keenly watching and investigating, and would certainly welcome a second leg. I hope that was somewhat helpful, Dale.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Carl Fredrik Schjort Pettersen from IBG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Follow up on the OPEX side. Could you quantify the effects of the impacts from 2017 into the Q1 18 numbers, just so that we have the actual number? And also, in terms of the unit depreciation going forward, is it going to be a flat at the current rates for 2018? And how should it then look at 2019, 2020?
Yes. Sorry, can you repeat the second question?
That would be depreciation per unit flat at current levels throughout this year. How should you think about 19 and 2020?
Okay. So the impact on OPEX in absolute terms during the quarter was close to 2 million. That was brought forward from 17. On the depletion side, it obviously depends on the success of our current and ongoing appraisal program and the related field development plans for the discoveries, and that is ongoing work. We can conclude that we have existing infrastructure over the fields, over the current producing fields, obviously, and the discoveries are very close to the existing fields. So the new discoveries will be in a position to benefit from existing infrastructure, meaning that we don't have to build from scratch. Dynamic, of course, but given the close proximity to existing infrastructure, we would expect, with a significant addition of reserves, we would definitely expect depletion per barrel to come down. I hope that answers your question.
And in terms of production, do you see full year, would you expect there to be up or down side to your full year guidance?
Well, the guidance remains, and we're not guiding on the guidance. So the guidance is in place until we have reason to say anything about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Roberto Condulmari from Compass. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to, my question has partly been answered, but just that I have the opportunity just to reiterate what you said. So basically on the impact of cost in the first quarter, you mentioned that it was about 2 million, the impact of cost related to 2017, which spilled over into Q1 2018. Can you confirm that?
That is right.
Okay. And so you don't expect this to recur. So is it correct to basically adjust this figure to get an idea of what operating costs could be in coming quarters?
Well, every quarter is unique. So if you deduct the 2 million from the absolute operating expenses, there is still a remaining increase quarter on quarter. We do have timing differences to some extent, but
the starting point is definitely
to reduce the first quarter in absolute terms with the 2 million.
Yeah, because there is an increase, but the operating leverage is more in line with what one would have expected given the oil price.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stéphane Foucault from GMP First Energy. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. I'm back on the exploration result of the first quarter, and was wondering whether you could quantify the order of magnitude of what has been discovered at, for instance, Tibian, whether it's a few hundred thousand or a few million barrels, just to have a bit of a sense. And for Luzia 1, which is to be potentially very material, what sort of upside could we talk about if the well is successful, and what sort of challenge are you facing? So you talk about the quality of the oil, you talk about whether it will flow or not, but is it just a matter of testing the well? And there had been oil shows in the past. Obviously, they encountered some difficulties not being able to demonstrate commerciality at the time. So what would be different? What's really challenging, and what would take such a long time to get better visibility? Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Lovely with an explorationist on the call. First, on the Tibian, we have not typically given any guidance on the size of or any detailed guidance on the size of discoveries, and I think we would like to stick to that. So it will of course be included in the reserve resource report for the end of the year. But as we have mentioned in the report, it is smaller than the Arafan Ulfa or Sama discoveries of last year. But I don't think we really want to, or can give much more detail at this stage. Moving on to the Luja one, yes, you're quite right. It is it's a potential play opener, and it's very much a work in progress. The well, of course, is TD'd, and we had shows while drilling. And given that we really want to make sure that we get all the information out of the well that we can possibly use to understand also the regional geology in that particular part of Block 4. I mean, we have a number of leads and possibilities down there. So I don't really want to either speculate or elaborate on what we'd hope to get. Give us another couple of months, and we are doing all the logs in the book. We are coring, and we will eventually hopefully get some quite interesting results out. And whether this one will flow or whether it will be a stepping stone towards eventually opening up the area for commercial production, we still don't know. But we should know in a couple of months, and we will be the first to share it with you, our dear supporters. I hope that was almost helpful.
Perhaps coming back on the legacy well that had all shows, what did it encounter?
It's a well that has reported shows in various layers, but we have no reports of any flows to surface. Now, if that was because the well wasn't tested, or because for other reasons it was deemed sub-commercial at the time, it was drilled in the 80s, I actually don't know. Okay. But of course, it's one of the pieces of the puzzle that we are factoring in. Naturally.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, remind you that if you do want to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. And as there are no more questions registered, I now hand back to you, speakers.
In that case, Jesper, do you have anything you want to add?
No, thanks for your attention.
In that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening in, and hope to talk to you all again in about